Welcome to High Desert Dialogue, your community affairs program heard on great High Desert radio stations like Y102, Cat Country 100.7, 106.5, The Fox, Dog 960, and HD 96.3. Now, here's your host for High Desert Dialogue, Roxanne Scafidi.
Hi, it's Roxanne Scafidi for High Desert Dialogue. We present to you a special Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders program.
I'm a dreamer, I'm a visionary, I'm a leader, I'm extraordinary. The light can get you down sometimes, it seems. I'll never let it take away my dreams.
Hi, this is Regina Weatherspoon Bell. Welcome to our special Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders program featuring some extraordinary people. Thank you for joining us. So good morning, and I have a very special guest in studio with me. This happens to be a woman who I have secretly coined elegantly understated, but she is well known throughout the High Desert community, has very deep roots and a long history here. She's kind of that touched by an angel. If you've had the opportunity to meet her, be in her presence, you have definitely been touched by an angel. So it is indeed my honor and privilege to welcome to the show this morning, Melanie Ajawinchukwu. Hi, Melanie.
Good morning, Regina. Thank you for inviting me to be here. This is truly an honor. I'm always happy to be with you. I'm always appreciative of all that you do for our community.
Well, thank you for that. But we're going to talk a little bit about you and talk about your history. Your father, Dr. Gerard Brown, amazing, just an amazing man. The contributions and imprint that he left here in the High Desert are staggering. And we as DVL, the Dreamers, Visionaries, and Leaders Project, of course, we're celebrating 10 years of service to the High Desert community. And one of the most memorable moments was when we were able to establish the Dr. Gerard Brown Scholarship, which was established back in 2014. And since that time, we have been able to award a total of 24 scholarships, several of those who the recipients are of your father's scholarship. Tell us, Melanie, a little bit about the legacy of your dad and who your father was and the imprint that he made on you during his years.
My father was an eclectic man. He came from roots of community. He's from originally from Richmond, Virginia. Went to dental school and at Howard University, and did maxillofacial surgery at Howard, and left a successful practice in Washington, D.C. to go into the military. And that was out of his commitment. He felt that he wanted to serve his country. And his sense of commitment to community was something that stood with him throughout his entire life. He retired from George Air Force Base and decided to stay in this community, which was really quite interesting because at that time, in 1971, it was indeed a different community and perhaps not as accepting as a larger environment. He didn't let that stop him. He dove right into the community. He began to participate. He was, first of all, he was the first and only African-American oral surgeon in this community coming in and to this date. But that it was never about color. My father was about intellect. He was about character. He was about integrity. It was always about be the best you can be and support others in being the best that they can be.
Right.
So that was an imprint for the community. That was an imprint for me. He went on to participate in, and certainly at the high school level, he served on the Victor Valley Union High School Board, and then went into many community endeavors. He served on Rotary. He was the chair for the Victor Valley Chamber of Commerce, and he established a Read to Me program, which was very near and dear to his heart because education was always his mantra.
Yes.
You know, education first and education last. He believed that it would deliver him and deliver everyone into a better quality of life.
Yes. Yes. And that's why we were so honored, and we take it as a badge of honor to be able to provide scholarships in his name to young students here in the High Desert. We do believe that it is important that they not just know the name, but they know the work of the man. Mm-hmm. And so that's an important aspect for our students as well. Mm-hmm. And we are indebted to your father. I had an opportunity to meet your father and to get to know your dad a little bit. And of course, one of the beautiful things to come from that is a relationship that we have had over the years because of that. So we are forever grateful and forever indebted to Dr. Brown. I want to talk about, because you do have a relationship beyond just your father. You have a relationship with dreamers, visionaries, and leaders. And I want to know what that really means to you, not necessarily the relationship, but what does a dreamer, visionary, and leader mean to you?
I think a visionary is someone who sees what can be, who sees what should be, who moves in that direction and brings to the environment the focus on opportunity. You know, people speak of challenges, people speak of upsets, people speak of disappointments. I always speak of opportunities. I always say that we don't grow from the birthday parties. So I think it's very important, and I believe as a visionary that we stay focused in the positive and the potential for our community, for ourselves, to bring together, to bring people forward, to enhance and to identify their gifts and support them in maximizing those gifts, because we all have them. It's not about what we don't have, it's about what we do have and what we can maximize.
Nice.
And I think the community is better everywhere when that is the focus.
Right. And I will say that I believe you are a champion of that in terms of mentoring and encouraging people to achieve and become their personal best. I know that to be true on several levels, including for myself. Which leads me to want to talk about you. You are a very accomplished woman in your own right. We know that your husband, Dr. Vincent Ajawanchuku, is dearly loved in this community, outstanding surgeon, humanitarian. I believe it was 2016. He was our Lifetime Achievement honoree, which was so well deserved. As you yourself have also been acknowledged and recognized as a DVL honoree. But I really want to talk about you, because you are what I call elegantly understated. But you are a powerhouse, and you are a powerhouse in the area of nutrition. You are a dietitian, nutritionist. You're a certified diabetic educator with the American Association of Diabetic Educators. You are constantly evolving and increasing your knowledge. There are so many people in this community that you have helped to maintain health in a very real way. And I'd like for you to talk to us about what drives you to do that work. What motivates you day after day to get up and go into your practice and really deal with the realities of, I'm just going to say, as a society, as a community, we don't eat very well. We don't take very good nutritional care of ourselves. So what motivates you to do that, Melanie?
It's my service to the community. My father imparted to me the importance of service, which, and as did my mother, additionally, but it's my service to the community in that we literally are what we eat.
Yes.
And in terms of being the best we can be, in terms of encouraging students to be the best they can be academically, that starts with nourishment. Everything starts with nourishment. I do a little analogy when I'm frequently talking to men, and I talk to them about how they care for their cars. I talk to them about the fluid changes that they do, the upkeep, the tires, and so forth, and that they look at labels on oils and things that their fluids are putting into their cars, and yet they've never read a food label. So really, what drives me is how much better we can be individually. You know, getting up in the morning and having breakfast is absolutely critical. Getting up and having the right breakfast, a breakfast that gives you good protein, gives you healthy fats and good carbohydrates, sets you up for the best part of your day. And, you know, we can live an extra 20, 30 years based on our lifestyles, on our lifestyles. And it's really critical. And it's little things. It's the light that I see come on when I'm talking to an individual, when I'll make a little suggestion, you know, that really moves me. If I can make one little change in an individual's life, because you see, that individual touches all of the individuals around them. You know, moms are pretty much in charge of the nutrition for the family, for most families. So if I'm talking to a child, I'm really talking to the mother. And this is really about you. You are the role model, and you're setting the course for everyone else. My husband often speaks of how I brought him to good nutrition, kicking, scratching, and screaming, and by default, because if I'm the one preparing it, he's got to eat it, like it or not.
Right.
And so it is seeing that spark, seeing that I can make a difference in a person's life, and showing them that it is not necessary to make massive changes, that each little change they make progressively is going to contribute to their betterment.
What are some of the basic changes that you see all of us basically can make across the board that will increase our health in terms of nutrition and doing better, having more energy, you know, feeling better about ourselves?
Education is first. The very first thing is to begin to be aware of the food in our environment, where we eat, what we eat, when we eat. Awareness, mindfulness. There's a whole concept of eating that's called mindfulness. A little example is putting a grape in your mouth, letting it roll around on your tongue, feeling the texture, smelling it before you put it in your mouth, or even a piece of orange citrus. But just picking up a small piece of food and acknowledging it, acknowledging what it is, what it will do for you, and how it feels, and how you respond to it. That's the beginning of mindfulness. Now, that can take many different forms. It's like if you're sitting down to breakfast, you're going to have a bowl of cereal, pick up the box and look at the ingredients. You know, the first three ingredients of anything, you do not want to see added sugar.
Okay.
You do not want to see added salt. You really don't want to see that in anything, but at least certainly not the first three ingredients. So if you're looking at breakfast foods, we want to look at a bowl of cereal, very common start for many people and individuals. But a bowl of cereal that's something on the order of, I guess I shouldn't name anything, but something on the order of full of sugar number one ingredients. Look for something that has added fiber in it. Throw some nuts into the cereal, or if you don't want it in the cereal, eat them on the side. A balance of a grain and a nut begins to put protein into the diet. And protein starting your breakfast will stabilize your blood sugar, stabilize your sentiment, enhance your energy, and begin to give you a better day. I think that we more associate our food with our lifestyle. When we rush, we need food that can be rushed to us. And so that is something that's gone on for the last three generations. And now we're beginning to see a turnaround. We're beginning to see, even in the food industry, even in the fast food chains, you're beginning to see those that are dropping a little bit of fiber, you know, putting a little bit more protein in. Oh, we're not adding sugar so much. So there's beginning to be a movement and an awareness, but you still have three generations that are so thoroughly ingrained in fast food, give it to me now. And often there's a perception that fast food is cheap. I always say, pay me now or pay me later. So while this may seem good and cheap now, you will pay for this in the long run in terms of your health. And so, yes, I think the best information is to really be much more mindful. I constantly say, we are what we eat. If you're paying a dollar for it, it's not food. It's a manufactured substance.
Yes.
This program has been made possible by the generous support of Shear Realty, exceeding expectations for over 37 years. Visit us online at dvlproject.com. and follow us on Facebook.
As we are moving into a new year, you know, we have a tendency to make these resolutions about what we're going to do, and we're going to diet, we're going to lose weight, we're going to eat better, all of that. There is, I don't think there's any debate that within the demographics, people of color in particular, so whether they're African American, whether they're Hispanic, Asian, it seems to me that there is this uptick of high blood pressure, diabetes, those type of things that are just on the rise. Mm-hmm. And particularly what I hear amongst those demographics. Are there things that, or information that you can share with our listeners that may be helpful to be aware, one, and then small things, as you said, that they can introduce into their diets that could be helpful to them?
That's particularly important because, especially in the African American community, number one, obesity. Obesity is the precursor for the gamut of diseases, diabetes, which is which is quite impactful. 30 million Americans have diabetes. About 84 million have prediabetes, which means they're on the way and they don't even know it. And so in obesity, if you're an African American adult, you're 1.5 times more likely to be obese than if you're Caucasian. High blood pressure. High blood pressure is extremely high in the African-American community. And, you know, 100 million Americans have high blood pressure. It's 1 in 3. The numbers are staggering.
Oh, my gosh.
African-Americans are 2.5 times more likely to have high blood pressure as an adult. And unfortunately, the obesity, the high blood pressure, and the diabetes, diabetics, African-Americans are twice as likely to be diabetic. These things begin in childhood. The potential for them begin in childhood.
Oh.
So role modeling is particularly important. As I said, if I'm speaking to a child about concerns, which we now are seeing, you know, we're seeing adult onset diabetes in children, which means it's principally driven by being overweight. And that's critical. So we need to stop obesity in childhood. You know, children make fat cells. Boys make fat cells twice in their life, women 3 times. So from the third trimester of pregnancy up until 2 years old, boys and girls are making fat cells. Then boys and girls make fat cells when they are in during puberty. And then a third time for women that get pregnant, women make new fat cells while they're pregnant. So it's particularly important for women to have an awareness of their food intake, not only because of what happens to them, but what they then role model for their kids.
Right.
So it's having an awareness of how significant these numbers are. Cardiovascular disease is the major killer of Americans. And diabetes is number 7 on the spectrum. So on 1 to 10, diabetes is number 7. These are diseases that are extremely impactful, and they are, as I mentioned from the statistics, significantly more impactful for African Americans. And then, of course, in the Hispanic population, we have these numbers additionally. So in general, people of color, we could spend a lot of time on that, but just there's an accelerated concern in people of color for these disease processes, although it's of concern for everyone. So the little things that we can do, number one is awareness. Number one is for the conversation to be, and I think, I know we're beginning to see this on cartoon shows. There's beginning to be an awareness of don't drink beverages that are sweetened. That is the number one thing. I happen to have a very good friend that very much enjoys a sweetened beverage. No names to be dropped at this time. But for instance, a Coke or a Pepsi, on average 12 ounces of that runs about 9 teaspoons of sugar. The recommendations for women are not to exceed 6 teaspoons of added sugar in the entire day. For men, it's 9 teaspoons. So just things like that, beverages. And, you know, as we know, if you go into a fast food restaurant, the first thing that they're going to push is the beverage because they make a lot of money on it.
Right.
So number one is an awareness of beverages. Number two is to read food labels. Just anything that you have in your home, pick it up, look at it, read it, and look again. Where's the sugar and where's the salt? Look for things that don't have those added ingredients. And then certainly are not in the first 3 ingredients, so they're not predominant. Shopping. Shopping in a grocery store. Shop the periphery of the store. you know, the healthy stuff. So you've got your fruits and your vegetables and your dairy and your protein resources on the periphery of the store. Try to stay out of the middle of the store. That's where all the packaged and processed foods are.
Okay.
And so just having that kind of awareness. Look at your plate. You know, recommendations are for, you know, a 9-inch plate, so don't eat from a platter. Use a smaller plate and use a quarter of the plate for the protein resource, a quarter of the plate for the carbohydrate, half of the plate for vegetables.
Mm, okay.
So little things like that.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Melanie, I want to, because there is a wealth of information that you have, a wealth of knowledge that we need to have in order to eat better, mm-hmm. feel better, mm-hmm. look better, mm-hmm. right? Is there an opportunity? Do you have a website? Is there a social media platform where people can go? Because I know that you have been a contributing writer to the Daily Press, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure of exactly where that is now, if you're continuing to do that, so people can get this type of information. Mm-hmm. But we want to try and make sure that those who are listening, if they're interested, and this is peaking that curiosity in their brain, that we're able to provide a resource, a reference for them. So is there a way that they, or suggestions that you would make for people to access this information?
Well, to reach me directly, my website is adietitiansexchange.com. So, and there's all of the resource on that for how to reach out to me. There are so many forums that are available. You know, the federal government, USDA, has put out a tremendous amount of information, myplate.gov. They're certainly on in the medical groups in the community. They all have websites, and they have nutrition components to that. So there's no shortage of availability of information. It is really, as we begin the new year, I, for one, believe in New Year's resolutions. I'm always glad for a new year because the stress of the holiday is over. The stress, you know, it's the season of eating. It begins with Halloween and the Halloween candy and goes through Thanksgiving and through Christmas. And it's just like there's this culture of we have to try to consume as much as we possibly can. So I think we need New Year's resolutions to get us all back on track and out from under, you know, the burden of that. But, you know, a great resolution is just to begin to educate one's self. We are what we eat. Begin to look at what the availability is. A plant-based diet. There's two regimens that are particularly helpful, the DASH diet and the Mediterranean diet.
Mm-hmm.
We generally say the DASH diet is for those that are have concerns about high blood pressure. And the Mediterranean diet, although they're both good diets and for anyone, the Mediterranean diet is very helpful for diabetics.
Okay.
And there's a wealth of information. You know, either one of those going online, the DASH diet, the Mediterranean diet, a wealth of information that can be helpful. So just taking that first step and making a commitment to making this your best year ever.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Today is the first day of the rest of your life.
Yes. I want to, before we wrap up here, whole healthy, particularly for women,
mm-hmm.
because there's no secret that you have a tremendous schedule, tremendous responsibilities with your practice.
Mm-hmm.
You support doctor and his practice.
Mm-hmm.
You are committed to several organizations within our community. Also, as I said, you're very accomplished. You're a writer. You have other projects.
I do.
And you also have two sons.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
You are what I'm calling a full-bodied woman.
Thank you.
Talk to us a little bit about how you practice and remain whole, healthy, mind, body, and spirit.
Extremely important. You know, the adage of if you're flying on an airplane, they give you the message of if you're traveling with anyone and there should be a loss of cabin pressure, put the oxygen mask on yourself first, so that you can be of aid to those that you travel with.
Mm-hmm.
So I live what I preach. I've been committed to exercise since I was a young teen. I continue that practice. Of course, in my maturity, I have to make a little bit different selections in terms of the things that I do. I keep trying to tell my trainer that, but she doesn't listen to me. So I commit to that. It's being active. We need, we as women, especially women, have tremendous stresses, all of us. We are always trying to take care of everybody else. So I take care of myself. I do exercise routinely and regularly. I am careful and thoughtful about what I consume. I really am. I will consume virtually anything. I'm predominantly a vegetarian, but I'm really an omnivore. I consume anything. It's within reason. I do not eat French fries anything, or donuts. Anything within reason, it's the quantities that I look at. But I'm always mindful. I don't take the weekend off. There's a philosophy, school of philosophy that says, you know, Monday through Friday, do this and then take the weekend off. You really can't afford to do that because you can undo in a weekend everything that you've accomplished
in
the course
of
the week. Absolutely. So it is, I am committed to taking care of myself as I see that that's important for my own well-being and so that I can be the best to everyone. I can be the best that I can be and encourage them to be the best they can be.
Believe that you have piqued some curiosity and given some good resources where our listeners will be able to go and get more of that information. And again, before I let you go, if they want to reach out to you directly through a dietitian's exchange, how can they do that?
Well, either going online and looking at the website, or a phone number for me would be 760-242-8491.
Melanie, thank you so much. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to
and you. Thank you for all of the amazing things that you do, elegantly understated, in our community.
Thank you so much, Regina. Appreciate you deeply.
This program has been made possible by the generous support of Shear Realty, exceeding expectations for over 37 years. Visit us online at dvlproject.com and follow us on Facebook. Be sure to join us next week at 6 a.m. on this station for our final DVL program with two very accomplished individuals, Heather Obernolte, wife of Assemblyman Jay Obernolte, and Julian Weaver, retired educator with deep roots in the high desert. You don't want to miss this one. Remember, be kind to yourself and others, and be the change you want to see.
I'm a dreamer. I'm a visionary. I'm a leader. Extraordinary. The light can get you down sometimes, it seems. I'll never let it take away my dream.
You have been listening to High Desert Dialogue, a public service program of El Dorado Broadcasters. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions for High Desert Dialogue, email us at vvpsa@edbroadcasters.com. El Dorado Broadcasters is an equal opportunity employer serving the greater High Desert area on great stations like Y102, Cat Country 100.7, 106.5 The Fox, Talk 960, and HD 96.3. Join us again next weekend at the same time for High Desert Dialogue.